calendar of celebrations that bring the people of God together as community, in hospitality, as well as in worship. And throughout the Judeo-Christian tradition, this idea of gathering together, of feasting and of offering back to God, is repeated over and over. Celebration is part of the identity of the people of God. And so it's understandable as to why, over the last two centuries, the church is involved in times of personal celebration. Those transitions, markers and acknowledgements that mark the progress of our lives. Birth, marriage and death. And those which mark our life in Christ. Baptism and Eucharist. And outside the church, celebration is often about like-minded people, those who value the same things you do, or, frankly, who are related to you. Inside the church, we join together as a broader family. Our sense of connection is to something and someone bigger than us. And so we join together in joy and sorrow and praise and lament, giving and receiving from our time as a community. But why are humans drawn to celebrate? To answer that, we need to look at what we celebrate. We join together to observe the markers and transitions of our lives and relationships. We celebrate the completion of hard work and good rest. We celebrate to remember and to show honour. Generally, celebration comes from love, appreciation, and acknowledgement. And at its core, celebration is about relationship building. There's something personal about the best celebrations. They're personal and relational, and that's absolutely consistent with the character of God. Now, that's not to say that all celebration is good or comes from a godly place. Human sacrifice in the Mayan and Aztec cultures was often part of a community celebration. In our days, a march past of the North Korean military may culturally be a celebration, but it's neither relational or personal. Celebration in the Bible gathers community. Everyone in the community celebrates. No one works. You shall not work at your occupation. So the idea is that you shift attention away from toil and connect people to something bigger than the individual. And they offer something as an acknowledgement to God for what God has done. I'm going to ask Tony to come and read the second reading.
After this he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've asked a couple of people to come and share with us about different aspects of celebration, and Michael's very kindly agreed to come and share with us.
celebrations, auspicious time, time of blessing. And I see you read. Read all over. I'm not angry, because Western perspective and Oriental perspective to color are very different. Read. Devotion, love, sacrifice, the cross, blood, danger, red light, red neck, red army, communist. And for some Christians, Chinese are the sons and daughters of death, because they are children of the dragon, 666. Danger. For the Chinese, red is happiness. It's everywhere. It feels everything. It's at birth. The child is dressed in red. Weddings, the husbands and wives, or the bride and bridegroom, are dressed from top to bottom in red. Celebration, red, all over. At the entrance of the door, on top of the door. It comes in pairs. 恭喜, 恭喜. The character that says death wishes happiness comes in pairs. All life comes in completeness in a pair. Happiness, red, has a lot to do with food. In every celebration, lavish food abounds. It would be a terrible embarrassment for the host to be caught up with insufficient food. Like the story of Jesus turning the water into wine, the host was embarrassed. And so, in celebration, the host prepared lots and lots of food. Because the Chinese saying goes, Si Wei Xian, it's very hard to translate. It says the priority of life, the meaning of life, is linked up with the food we eat. And to participate in the food is to participate in life itself. And so it happens at birth. Families are gathered together around food. At death, in a Chinese funeral, it always ends with food. And you know in Chinese, everywhere is food. Food is the most important in life, for life existence. We start as a child in our mother's womb, as we sucker. We end with food. And I like to end with a note. Today we are gathered in next meeting because we are at Eucharist, at a time of thanksgiving at a feast. Because in participating like the Chinese, look at happiness and food, it is inclusive because it looks at the blessings we enjoy now. At the same time, through the elders which we honor and given first place in such occasion, is an acknowledgement of what our elders have been able to pass on to us. At the same time, children are not only tolerated, but loved and treasured at such occasion. You never find a time of celebration among Chinese without children. They make a heck of a noise, but they are not only tolerated, they are loved and lavished. Because in eating and in celebrating, we look at the past with thanksgiving. We communicate with the past while we enjoy the present. But more importantly, through the children, we have a foretaste of what is to come. And for me, the Holy Communion is us giving thanks for one, for all God's blessing and His presence with us, looking at the past in gratefulness, in communion with the saints. And I think this is where we are lacking, because we are not very conscious of the fact that there are a crowd of witnesses surrounding us as we celebrate and looking to the future as we enter the banquet that God has prepared for us.
I've been asked to speak about celebrating a life, and there's lots of things I could talk about, but there's probably two main points I want to mention. One idea is, an idea taken from a 1996 poem from Linda Ellis called Dash Between the Dates. And the poem refers, you've probably heard of it, refers to the dates on a tombstone, which is the date of birth and the date of death. But what matters most is the dash between those years. It's a reminder to celebrate life, that each day holds the potential for hope and meaning and purpose and forgiveness. And it's a reminder to spend our dash in a purpose-filled way and to celebrate the gift of each and every day. It's a powerful reminder. It's a long poem, so I won't read it today, but it's worth looking up because it's a great celebration of every day, the gift of every day. And the second point I want to mention today is the great celebration of hope that we have as Christians. We celebrate the truth of the hope, the promise that we have, that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that's worth celebrating. Even death doesn't have the last word. Scripture, both Old and the New Testament, speak of God's deliverance from the power of the grave. It talks about where, O death, is your sting? Where's your victory? The Christian hope in eternal life was won in the resurrection of Jesus, nothing that we could earn. So this is worth celebrating. And Scripture paints vivid pictures of God's kingdom, of His eternal kingdom, that the images attempt to describe the indescribable. In all creation, in mutual harmony with each other and at peace with its creator. A new creation where all people live in love and share an abundance of good things and know great joy. Images of great celebrations of banquets and wedding feasts, of water that never runs dry, of life-giving trees and an ever-welcoming eternal city where there's no darkness. And there's no tears, and there's no sadness, and there's no violence. We have an indestructible, indescribable hope and promise in Jesus Christ, both in this life and in the life to come. And this is worth celebrating. Amen.
Why is celebration important to us? I had a really full week at work. I've put in at least 12 hours a day for the last 2 weeks, and for some of you that's a normal working week, but for me it's not quite. And then this week I also had 2 funerals to attend, and both were for men who fought in World War II. They had very different wars from each other. Both had survived a beloved wife raised children and grandchildren, and both have been faithful followers of Jesus. So while there was an acknowledgement of loss, there wasn't a sense of ending. There was a feeling of stepping into the great cloud of witnesses. Celebration nourishes us psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. As one psychologist puts it, without celebration, we wither away. Now, I know the kind of celebration we've been talking about today can be hard work. You have to intentionally step away from tasks and productivity to take time out. Join with others and acknowledge whatever it is that you're celebrating. We know the psychology of small personal celebrations are key to resilience. And the same goes for family and community and church. Celebrations matter. It might mean a sacrifice of time and energy, but it also rejuvenates. What strikes me in the Bible is that while there are a few instances of personal celebration, most are about the people of God. As the people of God, we're called to make a conscious decision to celebrate, to build community through hospitality and acknowledgement. So here at St. Michael's, we have Ash Wednesday and Easter Thursday and Christmas festivals. And later this year, we're going to do our own kind of Thanksgiving for St. Michael's. People are instinctively driven to honour the significant moments in our lives, to engage in celebrations and create meaning. And if you didn't take the chance over breakfast, I hope that if you've got time after the service, you'll share with each other celebrations that have been important to you. By creating space for celebration, we cultivate a sense of community. We instill a sense of meaning and significance in our lives. We create lasting, cherished memories. We add fun and excitement. And we take our place in the life of celebration that has gone before us and will come after us. Let's pray. O God, our rest and our Redeemer, in the course of this busy life, give us times of refreshment and peace to rebuild our bodies and our minds so that we may live in harmony with you and your creation. Thank you that you have made us to be a people who celebrate, that you call us to take time out, to spend time together, and to acknowledge what you, the Lord our God, have done for us. Renew our spirit, fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.